Following sermon by Rabbi Joshua Davidson is from Saturday, July 2nd, 2016.
I'd invite you to come a little bit closer if you are willing to do so. Well, I've come a little closer to you then. So Parashat Shalach Lecha tells the story of the 12 spies. God instructs Moses to, quote, send for yourself men to search out the land of Canaan. And indeed, Moses dispatches leaders from among the Israelite tribes, and after 40 days, they return and make their report. And we just read it in the Hebrew. Now let's look at it in the English on your handout. It's Numbers chapter 13, verses 25 through 33. So follow with me. At the end of 40 days, they returned from scouting the land. They went straight to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran, and they made their report to them and to the whole community as they showed them the fruit of the land. This is what they told him. We came to the land you sent us to. It does indeed flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who inhabit the country are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the Anakites there. Amalekites dwell in the Negev region. Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites inhabit the hill country, and Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. Caleb hushed the people before Moses and said, "Let us by all means go up, and we shall gain possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We cannot attack that people, for it is stronger than we." Thus they spread calumnies among the Israelites about the land they had scouted, saying, "The country that we traversed and scouted is one that devours its settlers. All the people that we saw in it are men of great size. We saw the Nephilim there." The Anakites are part of the Nephilim. "And we looked like grasshoppers to ourselves, and so we must have looked to them." Now, according to our tradition, one way to study Torah is to focus on four levels of meaning the rabbis taught belonged to every biblical text. The Peshat, or the simplest, most literal meaning. The Remez, the allegorical meaning. The Drash, the meaning derived by the rabbis in their commentaries. And the Sod, the secret or mystical meaning found by the Kabbalists. And we're going to use this method to uncover just a few different interpretations of this week's tale, hopefully interpretations that can have meaning for us in our own lives. First, the Peshat. At the simple, most literal level, the story is indeed about 12 spies and the land of Israel. So now an interpretation at this Peshat level. Take a look at the first commentary. They were afraid of the responsibilities of freedom, the dangers involved in securing it. Far better it was to wander in the wilderness and even return to Egyptian bondage. The slave has no responsibility and his fate is decided by others. They spurned the opportunity to lead their own lives. So now a question for you all to ponder and answer. According to Nechama Leibovich, whose words we just read, why did the 10 spies stress the negative? And why did the people believe them? Why did the 10 spies stress the negative? And why did the people believe them, according to Nechama Leibovich? They were afraid. What were they afraid of? They were afraid that they would be defeated. Leibovich suggests there's even a little bit more to that. What if they'd been victorious? What would they have had? Yeah?
They would have returned to Egyptian bondage.
Well, they would rather return to Egyptian bondage. But what does Leibovich say they're afraid of going forward? Maybe being defeated, but what if they're victorious? What are they afraid of then? Yeah? Responsibility. They're afraid of the responsibility that comes with freedom. So that's an interpretation at the pshat level, the literal level. On to the remez, or the allegorical level, where each element of the tale stands as an allegory for something else. Remez, if you know Hebrew, means hint. So each thing hints at its true meaning. So the land of Israel is not just the land of Israel, and the spies are not just the spies. Each stands for something else. Take a look at this next piece by Rabbi Larry Hoffman. The story of the spies is the story of us all, for we move on as we grow older, not to a promised land, granted, but before a job interview, we may surreptitiously saunter through the halls, imagining what it would be like to work there. Before we buy a new home, we scout out the neighborhood. In our life cycle, too, we daydream about new vistas of growth, what it will be like to awaken each morning married, to hold a newborn in our arms, or to graduate from college and pay off debts, not add to them. Really, growing up requires faith in our own right to occupy places that, as children, we thought only giants could own. So at the remez level, what does the promised land represent, and who are the spies, and what can we learn? What does the promised land represent? Let's start with that. The future. And who are the spies? All of us. And what can we learn? We're all going to get there sooner or later. More than that, it's not an inevitability. There's an outlook. Not to be afraid that we actually do belong there. It's not just the giants who own the land. It's ours too. We have to have the confidence that we in fact belong, that the future actually can be ours. That's the remez, the allegorical level. So now we move on to the drash, or the sermonic reading. And one of the interpretive techniques used by the rabbis was to let scripture interpret scripture. You've probably heard that before. In other words, you read one biblical passage in light of another. And this is really interesting. Take a look at the text in the drash section of your handout. The first comes from a little bit later in the parasha, and the second is Rashi's comment on it. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may see it, and remember all the commandments of the Eternal, and do them, and not search out after your eyes, after your heart and your eyes in lust. That's Numbers chapter 15. And Rashi, the heart and the eyes are the spies of the body. They act as its agents for sinning. The eye sees, the heart covets, and the body commits the sin. Now, these texts may appear completely unrelated to the spies' tale, but the rabbis found a connection. And if you look up at the very first text, you'll see that that same verb, I bolded it, search out, in Hebrew, tur, used in God's instruction to Moses to send out spies, is used later on in the instruction concerning the tzitzit, the fringes. I bolded it there too. The fringes, we read, remind us not to search out with our hearts and our eyes for things that might lead us away from the commandments. And the rabbis read the story of the spies in light of the commandment about the tzitzit. They note that in Numbers, the heart is mentioned first. You see that before the eyes? And this leads them to a conclusion about what must have been in the hearts of the spies before they were dispatched that caused them to see the land the way they saw it. So what do you think was in their hearts? Fear. Good. Lack of faith. Okay, good. Fear and lack of faith. But there's even something else. And we come to that answer at the sod, the mystical level of interpretation. So look at this first text from Misilat Yesharim, in English, The Path of the Upright, by the late medieval Kabbalist Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, who wrote, It is possible that a person can overcome his inclination for money and other pleasures, yet still be pressed for honor, as he cannot tolerate being on a lower status than his friends. It was this which, according to our sages, caused the sin of the spies to slander the land and brought death upon them and the entire generation. For they feared lest their honor be diminished when they would enter the land, as they would no longer be princes among Israel, and others would serve in their stead. Remember that the spies were the appointed leaders of the people. So what did they think was going to happen to them once the people entered the land? What did they fear? That their status would be diminished, that the role that they played with such great pride during the wanderings would be stripped from them. There was job security in the wilderness. The people's situation wasn't so great, but individually, these tribal heads each felt secure, and they didn't want to lose that status. That, perhaps, what was in their hearts that allowed them to see and report the way they did. So now the last piece. Each of us is not just one spy, but all 12. How is this true? Why are we so often inclined to listen to the 10 standing on one shoulder and not the 2 on the other? The 10 commandments? Well, 10 is a number of significance. There's no question. But why are we so inclined to listen to the 10 and not the 2? Yeah, it's easier. It's easier not to take the step into the unknown. Other answers? Lack of confidence. Confidence takes strength. And sometimes we don't have that at difficult moments in our lives. Others? I would suggest to you that Israel's failure was a failure of vision and an inability to dream. The people couldn't see a future brighter than their past or their present. Perhaps that they had come to believe that they would never, in fact, leave the wilderness. After all, the lens through which we see the world is ground by our own experience. It takes a monumental leap of faith for a people who have known only slavery in a barren desert to envision living freely amidst Canaan's plenty, just as we too sometimes struggle to see a future brighter than the past, which, after all, is all we have known. The story of the spies, then, speaks to each of us, challenging us to believe in the future. So those are 4 levels of Torah interpretation: the pshat, the remez, the drash, and the sod. And if you take the first letter of each of those words, you get the word pardes, which means garden. And according to the Kabbalists of the 16th century, there are 600,000 different interpretations of every verse. Why 600,000? One for each Israelite present at Sinai. In other words, there are as many different interpretations, different ways of understanding, as there are those of us who seek to understand. And this is what we call the Garden of Torah. And when we study, we are able to enjoy its fruit. Shabbat Shalom.